Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
A warm welcome to those who have joined us this evening in the church auditorium, on the listen line, and those who have connected via Zoom. The members of this church pray for and expect healing. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 401. This is the second verse. Christ, thou dost come to bring on thy redeeming wing healing and sight, health to the sick in mind, sight to the inly blind. Now to all mankind let there be light. Hymn number 401. The Bible, 2 Timothy. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mark. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto them, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Ezekiel. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak. Thus saith the Lord, Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Mark. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked his scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Acts. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Philippians, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mind is immortal. Mind, the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God, of whom man is the full and perfect expression, deity, which outlines but is not outlined. God is not the creator of an evil mind. Indeed, evil is not mind. Good never causes evil, nor creates aught that can cause evil. Good does not create a mind susceptible of causing evil, for evil is the opposing error and not the truth of creation. As named in Christian Science, animal magnetism or hypnotism is a specific term for error or mortal mind. It is the false belief that mind is in matter and is both evil and good, that evil is as real as good and more powerful. Mortal mind, nothing claiming to be something, for mind is immortal. Mythology, error creating other errors, a suppositional material sense, alias the belief that sensation is in matter, which is sensationless, a belief that life, substance, and intelligence are in and of matter, the opposite of spirit, and therefore the opposite of God or good. Christian Science goes to the bottom of mental action and reveals a theodicy, which indicates the rightness of all divine action as the emanation of divine mind, and the consequent wrongness of the opposite so-called action, evil, occultism, necromancy, mesmerism, animal magnetism, hypnotism. Christian Science, properly understood, would disabuse the human mind of material beliefs which war against spiritual facts, and these material beliefs must be denied and cast out to make place for truth. Disease arises like any other mental conditions from association, since it is a law of mortal mind that certain diseases should be regarded as contagious. This law obtains credit through association, calling up the fear that creates the image of disease and its consequent manifestation in the body. When this mental contagion is understood, we shall be more careful of our mental conditions, and we shall avoid loquacious tattling about disease as we would avoid advocating crime. You say that indigestion, fatigue, sleeplessness cause distressed stomachs and aching heads. Then you consult your brain in order to remember what has hurt you, when your remedy lies in forgetting the whole thing, for matter has no sensation of its own, and the human mind is all that can produce pain. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost. I have discerned disease in the human mind and recognized the patient's fear of it months before the so-called disease made its appearance in the body. Disease being a belief, a latent illusion of mortal mind, the sensation would not appear if the error of belief was met and destroyed by truth. I name these facts to show that disease has a mental, mortal origin, that faith in rules of health or in drugs begets and fosters disease by attracting the mind to the subject of sickness, by exciting fear of disease, and by dosing the body in order to avoid it. Science not only reveals the origin of all disease as mental, but it also declares that all disease is cured by divine mind. There can be no healing except by this mind, however much we trust a drug or any other means towards which human faith or endeavor is directed. It is mortal mind, not matter, which brings to the sick whatever good they may seem to receive from materiality. But the sick are never really healed except by means of the divine power. Only the action of truth, life, and love can give harmony. The cause of all so-called disease is mental, a mortal fear, a mistaken belief or conviction of the necessity and power of ill health, also a fear that mind is helpless to defend the life of man and incompetent to control it. Mortal mind and body are one. Neither exists without the other, and both must be destroyed by immortal mind. Matter or body is but a false concept of mortal mind. Erroneous mental practice may seem for a time to benefit the sick, but the recovery is not permanent. This is because erroneous methods act on and through the material stratum of the human mind called brain, which is but a mortal consolidation of material mentality and its suppositional activities. A patient under the influence of mortal mind is healed only by removing the influence on him of this mind, by emptying his thought of the false stimulus and reaction of willpower and filling it with the divine energies of truth. The error of thinking that we are growing old and the benefits of destroying that illusion are illustrated in a sketch from the history of an English woman published in the London medical magazine called The Lancet. Disappointed in love in her early years, she became insane and lost all account of time. Believing that she was still living in the same hour which parted her from her lover, taking no note of years, she stood daily before the window, watching for her lover's coming. In this mental state, she remained young. Having no consciousness of time, she literally grew no older. Some American travelers saw her when she was 74 and supposed her to be a young woman. She had no care-lined face, no wrinkles, nor gray hair, but youth sat gently on cheek and brow. Asked to guess her age, those unacquainted with her history conjectured that she must be under 20. This instance of youth preserved furnishes a useful hint upon which a Franklin might work with more certainty than when he coaxed the enamored lightning from the clouds. Years had not made her old, because she had taken no cognizance of passing time, nor thought of herself as growing old. The bodily results of her belief that she was young, manifested the influence of such a belief. She could not age while believing herself young, for the mental state governed the physical. If a sense of disease produces suffering, and a sense of ease antidotes suffering, disease is mental, not material. Hence the fact that the human mind alone suffers is sick, and that the divine mind alone heals. Because the so-called material body is a mental concept and governed by mortal mind, it manifests only what the so-called mind expresses. Therefore, the efficient remedy is to destroy the patient's false belief by both silently and audibly arguing the true facts in regard to harmonious being, representing man as healthy instead of diseased, and showing that it is impossible for matter to suffer, to feel pain or heat, to be thirsty or sick. The human mind has no power to kill or to cure, and it has no control over God's man. The divine mind that made man maintains his own image and likeness. The human mind is opposed to God and must be put off, as St. Paul declares. All that really exists is the divine mind and its idea, and in this mind, the entire being is found harmonious and eternal. Mind is a great creator, and there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. If mind was first chronologically, is first potentially, and must be first eternally, then give to mind the glory, honor, dominion, and power everlastingly due its holy name. Let us accept science, relinquish all theories based on sense testimony, give up imperfect models and elusive ideals, and so let us have one God, one mind, and that one perfect, producing his own models of excellence. Mind is the same life, love, and wisdom yesterday and today and forever. Let's join together for a few moments of silent prayer, followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our next hymn is number 404. This is the second verse. Truth will from error free your long enslaved mind and bring the light of liberty, where each shall be enshrined. Hymn number 404.
Yeah.
This church is a branch of the Mother Church, the first Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Childcare is lovingly provided for those too young for Sunday school. A reminder to the members of First Church Carmel to attend an important membership meeting tomorrow evening, Thursday, May 4th at 7 o'clock p.m. Since a quorum is needed at this meeting, please RSVP to Jean Bates as to your attendance if you have not done so already. This is now your time to share experiences, testimonies, or remarks on Christian Science. If you have joined via Zoom this evening and wish to share, unmute yourself, and then remember to mute yourself when you are finished. If you are in the church auditorium and wish to share, just give the usher a wave and someone will bring you the microphone.
Thank you for the readings on mind. I've listened to the Zoom to the lecture that Fifth Church had, and one of the things that she was talking about is what reality is with your reasoning and your mindfulness. She gave a healing of a man who had abused her and totally had forgiven him and wanted to meet up with him and to let him, this was for him as well, of what for his healing. And it was really brought out that what your reality is or what the truth is about him, and that he was a perfect child of God, and so was she, and how that reality is the only thing that needs to be acknowledged and remembered in mind. So I thought of that during the whole time that you were reading tonight, of how our mind does make us react to our environment. And of course, mortal mind versus the one true mind. It brought back an incident that happened in my first marriage, in that we were, Jennifer and Jeff were real small, and we were traveling from his parents' house back to our home, and we were driving in his dad's car. And so we were on it was a four lane, it wasn't interstate, but it was we had two lanes, and this truck driver came up behind us and starts talking to us and pointing and trying to get us to pull over. And he's got this mad look, and we thought he was crazy and after us. And so the whole time he's doing this and going like this to us, he's weaving, and we thought that he was trying to knock us off the road. And so we got really frightened, and of course we had little Jennifer and Jeff in the back seat, and we were, you know, and we had this car that was smaller than the car. It was when the first smaller cars started coming out, and I can't remember, I think it was a Mazda. And so we were feeling very vulnerable with our little bitty car and this great big semi, and this guy that looked angry and was just pointing his finger, and so we sped up and we tried to get away from him, and he sped up and he starts after us, and he's weaving in and out and trying to get us. And finally we decide to get off and try to get off the interstate or the four lane road. And it wasn't an interstate, but it was a two laner. And so we did get off, and our thought was to try to get to a resident or a gas station or somewhere where we can have somebody there to help us, you know. And but the where we got off, there was nothing around. There was just nothing. There was no gas station. There was just country. And so finally, we just pulled over because we were there wasn't anything else to do. And he stops. He got off with us, by the way. He had pulled off with us. And so when we stopped, and he gets out of the truck, and he's just madder than all get out. And he says, why didn't you just pull over? And why I've got to, and he was acting like we had put him out because he had where his truck had delivery or whatever, we were interfering with that. And he said the reason he was pointing at us was because we had the parking brake on and it was making smoke, and you know, it could have blown our car up. What had happened is that his dad had taped over and covered up the light that shows that you have the parking brake on, so we couldn't see that the parking brake was on. And but that is such a evident thing where you perceive in your mind what you think is going on is not going on. And luckily, you know, we release the brake, and the thing's not gonna overheat and blow up he said that could have caught your car on fire. And he was just so upset, and he was still like mad at us. He's pulled over, and then finally the whole atmosphere changed, and we were grateful, and he was grateful, and but it was such a weird situation. But it has taught me a lesson, is that the lesson is that you have to really think that God is in control, and that is the only one and the only mind. But that brought that situation that what you think is reality in your thinking is could be something else. And just to get quiet and still and pray to know what is the truth in any kind of situation. So, which is that we are all children of God. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. I had an opportunity this week to put into practice one of the CDs, the anthology CDs that I've listened to. And I believe it's the title of the article is, "What Shall We Think About Our Body?" And the thing that was amazing to me and caught my attention is it, somewhere in the article, it talks about, you know, we would be a refrigerator. You can put whatever you want in a refrigerator and it never has any impact. You can put any combinations of food in the refrigerator and it never impacts the refrigerator in any way, shape, or form. Well, this particular day, I was struggling with stomach, whatever you want to call it, an issue. And that thought came to me. And the thought that came was, my material body is just like a refrigerator, and I can put any thoughts, because that's what Mrs. Eddy talks about, is we need to change things into thoughts. So I can put any thought into my body and it can't harm me. Almost instantaneously, the issue that I was having with my stomach was gone, and I was able to fall asleep and go to sleep peacefully. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you.
It's nice to be in the auditorium on a Wednesday night here. I'm usually listening to the meeting in my car somewhere between Chicago and Indianapolis. And that was the case last Wednesday night. And not to digress, but your lesson from the desk and the testimonies last Wednesday night about home just absolutely touched my heart. So thank you for that. It reminded me of an experience that I had many, many years ago and have been so grateful for. And it kind of has set a tone for my experience in the establishment and realization of my established home throughout many moves during the course of Jill's and my marriage. I found myself after undergrad going through a corporate training program, getting settled into a position, thinking that I was going to be in one location for probably a year and a half or 2 years. It was about 7 months later, I was given an opportunity to move to another area. I was kind of excited. I was very young and eager for new opportunities, and it seemed like a good thing to do. Naively, didn't investigate the housing situation in that area too terribly closely. And this was in the 80s when housing was expensive and there was not a lot of it. And so I embarked on my job, was living in a corporate hotel housing kind of accommodation. And it came time that I needed to get out of that and I needed to find a real place to live. So I looked around at some apartments, didn't find anything. And one night, late afternoon, actually, I went back to my hotel room, read the lesson diligently, or more diligently than usual, it seemed. And in the lesson that week was the definition of church. And what just really stuck with me was church is the structure of truth and love. And I realized, you know, I kind of live there, or if I don't, that's where I want to live. Also included in the lesson that week was something that you included in your readings. And then it reminded me of a hymn that you selected last week, Pilgrim on Earth, Home in Heaven are within thee. So I really held to that fact, kind of went out aimlessly, not knowing exactly where I was going to end up. But I went to an adjacent community, needed to stop for gas. So I did that. Then I saw kind of the downtown area of that community, drove that way. Then I saw this illuminated structure on the left, and it was the Christian Science Church in that community. For whatever reason, that kind of sealed my thinking, in that I realized that my home truly was established and it would manifest itself in my experience. Drove a little farther, came across an apartment complex, and kind of the rest is history. Found a place to live. It was very harmonious. Additionally, in acknowledging the sense of true home and the establishment of the structure of truth and love within my experience, it was a matter of weeks later and Jill appeared on the scene, having been transferred to the same area. So needless to say, the blessings unfolded, but it was for me a wonderful recognition of our true home and also the importance of acknowledging that we are living in the structure of truth and love and the support that church brings us. Thanks for your readings.
Thank you.
Thank you for the readings tonight. And I'm so grateful to have heard the testimonies I've heard this evening as well. Your lesson to my heart of one mind takes me to an activity I'm involved in right now, and that is writing up a report for the church meeting tomorrow night on the lecture committee activity and our recent lecture, which was, of course, entitled Be Set Free. And as our committee, Jean and Gloria and Scott and Sally and I began to really address this, the lecturer asked us to be set free from what? And as you all know, we chose to be set free from divisiveness and contention. And so one mind, not minds many, but one mind became the theme and became evidently clear what we needed to hold to and demonstrate. And it was just such a lovely experience as we invited the congregation and attendees to pray with us and came together for a couple of meetings and shared how we had demonstrated and were demonstrating as a church the value of listening intently, earnestly praying with our whole heart to understand there was just one mind. And we felt like we witnessed healings not only in our own lives, but in our congregation. And so we were thrilled with the turnout that came, but most importantly, for the message that we each took away in our own heart. And the next day after the lecture, Nicole gave me a call in the morning. She was just about to get on a flight going to her next lecture. What a diligent soldier she is. And she had invited us to keep our pedal to the metal and to just continue to not give, you know, let down after the lecture, but to continue to pray. And so one of the things she said on that call was, she said, how many people do you think live in Carmel, Indiana? And I, as I was pondering that, she Googled it. And she said, there are 100,000 people in Carmel, Indiana. And she said, do you think maybe there are 50 people who might be interested in Christian Science? And, you know, she was talking, of course, you know, your heart, of course there could be 50. Who are interested in Christian Science, just opening up, you know, your thought to that possibility. And she said, but let me just share with you the experience that Mrs. Eddy had with Emma Thompson when she sent Emma Thompson to Minnesota to establish churches in Minnesota. And Emma Thompson began to really open up a number of churches in Minnesota. But she said that a lot of the communication between Mrs. Eddy and Emma Thompson at the time was to keep the troublemakers out, because Christian Science is a democracy and the troublemakers get a vote. Well, I, you know, was so grateful for the call for so many reasons, but one of the reasons was that very idea of keeping the troublemakers out because they get a vote. And just thinking of my own consciousness and how mortal mind will come and try to barrage thought in so many different ways to detract, to draw attention to something, to present the idea of more than one mind, and how intently I need to work to keep the troublemakers out, because they indeed get a vote. You know, they can make you cranky, they can make you tired, they can make you believe that maybe you're not feeling so well. And, you know, it's just was such an awakening. I love that idea of staying alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic to the truth. And what we most, each of us, probably love most in our heart is just that pure inspiration that comes to us. There's nothing more valuable than that pure inspiration, but to have that pure inspiration, to hear that pure inspiration, to act on that pure inspiration takes pure thinking. So I have just come full circle as I'm writing this report, just being so grateful in so many ways to the experience our church had and having the lecture and for the ideas that she shared and that are staying with us and still pushing us on.
Thank you. I have an article I would attest my I'd like to share from last week's Sentinel, the April 24th issue. The title is Hurt People Don't Have to Hurt People. And the author of this testimony chose to have their name withheld. In junior high school, I read an article that crushed me. It said that the abused become abusers. Taken in this statement resulted in years of my being afraid of myself and what I might do to others, or what others might think I would do, because of the beatings, sexual assault, and emotional abuse that I had suffered from the time I was a toddler. The self-fear also began a cycle of lying to others, saying that I was well while actually feeling suicidal and practicing self-harm. Despite being shy, soft-spoken, and obedient, I constantly dreaded the monster that I feared just lay below the surface. Decades later, when I thought I was past those feelings, they came flooding back one night, triggered by hearing a radio program discussing abused children, their abusers, and cycles of abuse. But what seemed to be an enormous setback led to a transformational blessing. Sitting open on the kitchen counter were my Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. A passage from Science and Health on the infinite distance between spirit and matter seemed to stare up at me, demanding to be read. It said, "The temporal and unreal never touch the eternal and real. The mutable and imperfect never touch the immutable and perfect. The inharmonious and self-destructive never touch the harmonious and self-existent. These opposite qualities are the tares and wheat, which never really mingle, though to mortal sight they grow side by side until the harvest. Then science separates the wheat from the tares through the realization of God as ever-present and of man as reflecting the divine likeness." Page 300. That passage, based on Christ Jesus' parable of the tares and the wheat, led to a breathtaking realization. In that moment, I understood that as God's likeness, I was untouched by the violence, the shame, and the lies I had endured. That realization led me, in turn, to the spiritual recognition that I was not hurt. And if I was not hurt, then I could not be someone who would hurt others. I let every word of the Christ message I was reading in Science and Health wash through me like a rushing river of love, sweeping away all the self-doubt and shame. I let it cleanse my heart of fear and refresh and renew my sense of who I was and always had been, God's pure, innocent, untouched child. That night, I bathed in this cleansing love of Christ, feeling the divine science, the godly truth of everyone's spiritual reality redeeming me. As I did, a statement from Luke's gospel came to me as if it had been a spoken benediction of love and grace on the healing. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." 24:34. This request was Jesus' voiced in prayer of humble desires. He reached out to God from the cross with a crown of thorns on his head and with the hands and feet pierced by nails, struck me anew. He didn't say, "Father, show me how to forgive them," but simply, "Father, forgive them." They needed God's forgiveness, not his. His persecutors' hatred, their fear of his message, their desire to silence his voice through violence and destruction never really touched him and couldn't prevent him from completing his mission. Jesus also puts the onus for doing what is needed to feel God's forgiveness right where it belongs, on the person whose abusive acts run completely counter to their own oneness with God. I knew I had to follow Christ's lead in order to find my own emancipation from self-hatred and shame. In that moment, a complete and profound freedom came to me. I felt empowered and impelled to entrust to God's forgiveness the person who had abused me for over a decade. Today, not only have I never become who I feared, but I have dedicated my life to helping and healing people, including helping others know that there is no truth to the claim that hurt people have to hurt people. Mrs. Eddy writes, "The cycle of good obliterates the epicycle of evil." The First Church of Christ Scientists and Miscellany, page 270. The spiritual truth of the infinitude of spirit, God, makes every material suggestion of cycles of evil a lie. And Christ, the spiritual idea of the allness of divine truth, dissolves the lie. Jesus' life and healings proved that decisively, and my experience has shown how possible such healing still is today. Thank you all. Let's close our service with hymn number 589. I'm going to read the third verse and the refrain. God has made us in love's image, perfect, Christ-like, pure, and free. We all reflect this strength and power. Let the mind of Christ shine bright. Rise and shine, your light has come. God, the everlasting Son, Christ has given us this light. Radiate God's glory. Hymn number 589.
ended, healing light to shine on earth, and in our hearts there beams the same love. Let the love of Christ shine bright. Rise and shine, your light has come. God, the everlasting Son, rise and see the boundless light, radiate God's glory. Jesus' grace revealed God's goodness, giving hope to all the world. Love is the light that burns within us. Let the life of Christ shine bright. Rise and shine, your light has come. God, the everlasting Son, Christ has given us this light. Radiate God's glory. God has made us in love's image, perfect Christ-like, pure and free. We all reflect this strength and power. Let the mind of Christ shine bright. Rise and shine, your light has come. God, the everlasting Son, Christ has given us this word. Radiate God's glory. We are one with God forever, one with love eternally. A perfect bond that can't be broken. Let the truth of Christ shine bright. Rise and shine, your light has come. God, the everlasting Son, Christ has given us this light. Radiate God's glory.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.